What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast and happy hump day.
It doesn't feel like your average hump day.
Well, that's because maybe not for you, but like some of us have to fast tomorrow. So I don't know. Maybe this week is just feeling off for some of us.
This week is feeling so full of promise for me because, you know, I'm in my 10 days. I'm reflecting. I'm repenting. Tomorrow, I'm looking forward to really diving into the yom, you know? No phone. I might even do no TV. I might just do book just to make it a little harder on myself because I'm not fasting.
So for those who don't know, tomorrow is Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement for us Jews. We must fast and all day.
Whilst we atone for our sins, though pregnant ladies need not fast.
And suddenly I'm feeling a kick. Is that a child? Yeah, no, I have to fast. And usually, like, we're commiserating together about, you know, the nasty breath of everyone in shul. And I'll just be doing that by myself this year. Because you've abandoned me, just like everyone else.
I'll be waking up, having breakfast, having lunch. And then I'm actually going to be hosting the breakfast, which I'm really excited about. And it works out for everyone else because no one else has to go through the torture of preparing a meal while they're fasting.
It's only fair that you host the breakfast. I just want to say, for the last 2 years, I have hosted the breakfast. And part of it is torture. But it's something to do, like instead of just looking out the window thinking about, you know, how you're a terrible person and how hungry you are, it's something. You're slicing tomatoes, like it's something. And honestly, I would say 98% of the shit that is served at a bagel breakfast breakfast, I like gag at. Like I was like unboxing like herring and tuna and like honestly it was making me not hungry. Like it's disgusting. The cutting of the bagels and toasting them, like that will kill you.
Yeah.
But I don't know, the egg salad sloshing around in the container. You know what?
You're good on that.
I think I could fast another day.
Is there any requests that you have for the breakfast?
I'm so fucking glad you asked.
I'm taking requests.
Okay, can we please, I know everyone loves like a diverse bag of bagels. And don't get me wrong, I do too. But let's be real, like the plain ones go the fastest because everyone loves a plain.
Plain?
Yeah.
Nobody likes a plain. Nobody. I wouldn't have even gotten a plain if you hadn't mentioned it.
What?
You're the only one who would go for a plain bagel.
Well, get a bunch because I'll take some home.
Fine.
Like a lot. Fine. I want like an overflowing of bagels.
Okay.
And I know everyone likes, let's get a cinnamon raisin. Like stick with like poppy, sesame, like a nice of the base, the regulars.
Okay, Snitch and I both are going to have cinnamon raisin as dessert bagels.
No, of course, but like flavorless bagels, justice for the flavorless bagels. Like, okay, everything is good, of course. When I break, I just want like a plain or even a poppy seed that tastes like nothing or a sesame really tastes like nothing. Like something, a good base. That's
okay.
What I'll say.
Okay, that's fine.
Now, if I walk into your home and I see Philadelphia cream cheese, I just want to let you know, I'm leaving.
Well, you're going to see it because it's the premier cream cheese. But you will also see Temp Tea.
Okay.
Because.
Sorry. Let's just rewind. Did you say it's the premier cream cheese?
Philadelphia cream cheese is the only cream cheese worth cheesing with cream.
Wow, I'm shocked. I know that you like their, they have a really good scallion cream cheese.
I like all of theirs. Temp Tea is so disgusting.
Oh my God. I think cream cheese that is not whipped literally deserves death, jail to them.
You're
all
so crazy. But you know what, different strokes for different folks. I'm gonna have every cream cheese and I'm gonna also have fresh cream cheese.
Okay, also I don't know if you're gonna be doing this, but like, I really prefer to eat off a paper plate.
Okay,
that's just me. And honestly, beverages are also really important.
I just placed a large beverage order, but and do you have,
I think like sparkling water is probably of the utmost importance. Okay. That day, because I'll be like super dehydrated.
I have the one that I always have,
but you know, I'd like to indulge in like a little Diet Pepsi.
Oh, okay. I didn't place that order. Okay.
Okay. And then let's move on to dessert. Because, I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there. a Carvel cake. I'm just throwing it out there. It could be a small personal size one.
You think you can make that work?
Because, like, this is a special meal, and I'm not really into, like, the traditionally Jewish desserts. Like, how many times can we have regalach, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Except Olivia got those babka bites that I wouldn't mind eating again.
They were so good, but for me, at Yom Kippur, the dessert is a cinnamon raisin bagel with Biscoff cookie butter on top and a little jelly.
No.
Doesn't that just sound like something?
I'm so excited. Like, I think I'm going to have a bagel today for lunch. And today's, like, my last day on Earth, so. Right.
What are you having for dinner?
I don't know. And, like, Ben's going to shul, so, like, I have to eat by myself.
Could I entice you to some homemade pappardelle?
Handmade pappardelle?
Handmade pappardelle.
Pappardelle.
I hate you. Handmade pappardelle that I made at home.
No, I need something from a restaurant. Like,
it tasted restaurant quality.
I'm sure it did, but I need, I'm thinking either, like, a Serafina moment or... Oh my God, I'm so nervous. I can't believe, like, the day is upon us. We talk about it all year long, and it's, like, literally tomorrow. And I am looking
all
forward.
All year for Yom Kippur. Do you see the new
one? I didn't.
Oh, I saw it on Sunday Instagram. The new Sunday Night Football. They used the new Mandalorian technology. Mm. It was looking really good. It wasn't Browns versus Jets, but it was good.
So they don't copy and paste, like, the songs, like, the teams anymore?
No, they do. But when we were going through it, like, it wasn't this particular game. That wasn't the particular game, but no. And I found out, thank you for everyone for letting me know, she records every combination. I thought she recorded every team name in each trope and they put them together.
Me too.
But she records every game that's going to happen. She sits there and she records
it. I would love to sit in on that session.
Not all heroes wear capes, you guys.
But actually, Carrie Underwood does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, I'm looking forward to feeling lighter. Like, on Friday, I feel like I'm going to have, like, a renewed sense of energy. And I've just been feeling kind of heavy this last week because that's what you're supposed to do, just reflect. And when I reflect and I look inside and I see me for what I truly am, which is ugly, it doesn't make me feel good. So I'm looking forward to rolling my eyes the forward way, looking forward after Yom Kippur, and focusing on other people's problems, not mine.
Great. Okay. Well, it sounds like you have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that means there will be no show tomorrow, but just know we will be repenting.
And wishing we were at the show.
Wishing. Yeah. Except I'm looking forward to sleeping in a little.
Yeah, me too.
I've been sleeping good this week, like some good pregnancy sleep.
Oh, thank you for reminding me. I wanted to tell you, if you come near me, like, I smell today. I had the craziest night of, like, tossing, turning, waking up for some reason drenched in sweat, and I woke up because I was so exhausted. I woke up so late. I should have taken, like, a body shower because, like, I was just, like, I was literally doing the marathon in my sleep, like an elliptical. I reek.
Okay.
Just a word to the wise, everyone.
Thanks for the heads up.
You're welcome.
What do you think was keeping you up?
I don't know, because I can't remember my dreams, but I fell asleep really fast. I was having deep, like, psychological dreams.
It was a psychological thriller?
Literally. Mm. Okay. And that's where I'm at.
Okay, well, I think we should get into everything because we've got a lot to do today and we've got a lot to talk about. So without further ado, who's here? Don't worry about him. It is time for the Fast Five Stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode of The Morning Toast is brought to you by Liquid IV. Liquid IV hydrates you faster and more efficiently than water alone. They contain 5 essential vitamins, it has more vitamin C than an orange, and as much potassium as a banana. They're healthier than sugary sports drink, and they have no artificial flavors, preservatives, and they're made with less sugar than an apple. So Liquid IV is so effective because of their cellular transport technology. If you have a hard time drinking water, which I do, it's so hard, Liquid IV comes in a ton of flavors. You add it to your bottle of water, and first of all, it tastes so much better. And second of all, it hydrates you like 3 times more. So it's really, really a fabulous product. And you didn't hear it from me, but they're known to help with a hangover and every now and then. So check it out. They're also on a mission to change the world. The company is donating 4 million servings in response to COVID-19. And products are being donated to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, and active military. Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco. Or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code TOAST at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code TOAST at liquidiv.com. By the way, before we dive into the stories, can you tell everyone about your experience watching LuLaRoe?
Yes, I was going to wait till the end of the show for a content segment.
Oh, okay. Well, let's do that.
Let's
do that. I like that idea.
Okay, cool, cool. Our first story, big news, Time 100 Most Influential People list is out, and Meghan and Harry are on the cover. there's a lot of other influential people inside, but Chef Jose Andres wrote a short essay about the pair. You know how everybody like writes about someone else, mm-hmm. just like J-Lo wrote about Charlie, as we saw on Hulu.
So now after watching the D'Amelio show, I feel like I have a whole new perspective on this list. And I just find it interesting. This is not me being a hater, but probably is me being a hater. I do find it interesting how 16-year-old Charli D'Amelio had the wherewithal, you know, like not to make it about herself. You know, there's like real activists and doctors and scientists doing amazing work. And she didn't want to, you know, she was honored to be on the list, but she didn't want to like make it about herself. And then Harry and Meghan just waltz right on the cover.
I just want to say, I think it's a different list because they were saying it was like an inspiring list. Like,
no, it was influence.
It was influence.
Yeah.
But it was a different time of year. And then like, that was filmed at the beginning of this year. I don't know. I don't know if it's the exact same list. Okay, that's all okay. I'll say.
But I just like
that is an interesting point. I mean, yeah, I don't want to be a hater. Meghan and Harry are, you know, Meghan and Harry. And there are a lot of things, and they're, you know, so high profile, and like everything they do is news. I don't know that I would say that they're so influential.
That's what I was going to say as well. They're A-list, and they're incredibly recognizable.
But like, they have a podcast. Have any of you listened to it? They have a children's book. Have any of you purchased it?
I know.
And like, he has a show on Apple Plus. Has any of you watched it? I'm not saying nobody's watching it, but I'm just saying like, I don't know people who are like thoroughly influenced by them.
Or like, they're the number one most influential, like right. on the cover. No, I completely agree. And honestly,
if they were buried somewhere down there, I wouldn't really think about it. I'd be like, yeah, they're big yeah. stars, sure. Because there's a lot of people on the list. I'm not going to go through how influential every single one of them is.
Did the show even come out yet? I've heard not a lick about it.
I think that it did come out.
No, you're right. Like, their podcast launched, and then everyone was like, oh my God, and then nobody cared. Like, it's just like a lot of hoopla for everything they do.
Yeah.
And nobody really, like, follows through, except for with the Oprah interview, because, like, that was...
Right, but then it's like, okay, that's so not the most interesting thing about them is that they're royal defects.
Right.
And if they're not talking about the royal family, like, are people listening?
Right. No, so I agree.
So then they go back to talking about the royal family, and it's like, all you do is talk about the royal family.
Right. So, like, is this the list of, like, famous people? Who else is on the list?
Okay, it's a really long list. There's obviously the different categories, so we'll go through... relevant categories and people. Okay. So we have, what is this one? Oh, icons is one. Naomi Osaka.
Very influential.
Yes. Alexei Navalny.
Oh, Meghan McCain's always tweeting about him.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. But much. It seems influential. Britney Spears.
Very influential.
Dolly Parton.
Oh, Moderna, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of other people, but I'm just going through like celebrities. Mm-hmm. Then in the pioneers category, we have Billie Eilish.
Incredibly influential.
Suni Lee. I'm happy she's there.
Me too. When I think of, I guess, yeah, no, she actually she's very inspiring. Her story, I take, yep, she's influential.
In the Titans category, we have Simone Biles.
I mean,
extremely influential.
She honestly should have been on the cover, if we're being honest.
Tim Cook.
Sure, yeah.
Shonda Rhimes.
Of course.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Then there seems like there's a lot of people who feel like they would be on it every year. Like Elon Musk is on this list.
Well, yeah, because
he's influencing every year, no?
Constantly raising the bar for all of us.
Artists, so that's really like the celebrity category. Kate Winslet.
That's incredibly bizarre.
But I guess her show Mare of Easttown influenced this year.
That's true. Okay, okay. Still pretty random.
Yeah, Bad Bunny, 100%.
Sure.
Chloe Zhao.
I don't know who that is.
Jason Sudeikis. He's having a moment.
Well, Ted Lasso, and then I think maybe they just put him on this list because they feel bad for him.
Because of Olivia Wilde.
Wouldn't you?
Isn't he dating someone, though?
Yeah, who? Like a model, you know, child, you know.
Okay. Scarlett Johansson. I think, like, with Black Widow and...
I guess, yeah, that's definitely a stretch, I think.
I know, but, like, there are so many celebrities walking this earth, and, like, these just don't feel like the biggest ones to me, but
in
sure.
terms of influence, yeah. Like, is this a list of the most famous people?
Here's like, more. Like, Lil Nas, yes.
100%.
Bowen Yang, your fave.
Oh.
And he's influencing SNL.
And, by the way, he's doing such important work, like, bringing SNL into the 21st century.
Yeah. Tracee Ellis Ross.
Yes, Black-ish is huge.
Daniel Kaluuya.
Yes.
Kane Brown.
Yes.
Yes. So that's, there's other people in the category, but those are like the most famous people. Then there's a bunch of leaders who are politicians.
Mm-hmm.
Then innovators. So that's like Elon Musk.
Got
and
it.
Other innovators who I don't recognize. And that seems to be the list.
Yeah. So honestly, like I would love some And I feel like we say this when we report on this list a lot. Like, what is the point of this list? Like, because honestly, like, if it's a roundup of famous people, then yes, Harry and Meghan were probably the most famous thing, the biggest deal to happen this in the last, you know.
In 2021. Like, who else would you put on the cover?
Right. But if we're talking about influence, like, you're right. Like, all these deals they keep getting, like, it's huge news. Like, she's going to voice over for Disney Plus. And then it's like, no one cares.
Yeah.
So all these projects are huge headlines. And then in actuality, does anybody actually care about the content they're making? I don't think anyone listens to their podcast.
Yeah. I don't even know if they're still doing the podcast right now.
Right. So in terms of influence, in the way that we understand influence in this day and age, Harry and Meghan are not influential, but they're really famous.
Yes. I agree. Now I'm looking to see who's been on other covers.
Yeah.
Oh, then there in 2019, it was there was three covers. Dwayne Johnson, Taylor Swift, Sandra Oh.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I felt strongly about that. Oh,
actually, it looks like there was, like, a bunch of covers, but that's just one. Okay, like, 2018. Like, honestly, Charlie should have been on the cover.
No, because that's what I'm saying. Like, if we're talking about modern influence, or, like, I don't know, someone who had an amazing scientific breakthrough for, you know, the cure for cancer. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I'm just struggling to understand what and who Harry and Meghan influenced this year, or just like in general.
Yeah, I
agree. Maybe like the American public about what the royal family did to them. I don't know. Like, I'm not understanding the influence.
Right.
I'm not under the influence.
I'm not under the influence either, but no. It's so hard to get me under there. But once I am, ooh, woo, I'm sold. LuLaRue, I'm buying leggings.
You guys, Jackie, we're going to discuss it in the TV recap. Jackie has the most interesting take on the LuLaRue. LuLaRoe. You keep calling it LuLaRoe, so now I'm saying
if that. If I was you, I'd want to wear LuLaRoe.
I'd want to wear LuLaRoe. I'd want to wear LuLaRoe.
Roe.
By the way, it sounds better if it's LuLaRoe.
I know. But that was a song from the documentary. Yeah. Anyways, that's Time 100. Check it out or don't. It is what it is.
Or don't. Like, nobody cares.
And it's also weird that, like, there's a like, the list is called the influentialist, and like being an influencer is actually a job,
right?
And there are people on this earth who are influencers, who are influential, who are not on this list.
Like, where is
even just one
podcaster,
one influencer? Like,
where's
even
Joe,
like,
Rogan,
Kiara Frogney, Joe Rogan?
Yeah, that's actually really weird.
Yeah,
because if we're talking about influence, like, people, like, I remember when I was watching some episode, like, I forget who it was, whatever. Like, maybe it was Bernie Sanders. Like, people, because of Joe Rogan, like, his numbers went up, like, tenfold. Like, that's actual influence.
Yes. Yes. That's actual influence. I guess the podcasters on this list are Meghan and Harry.
Oh, thank you so much for correcting me. I stand corrected.
Yeah.
No, that is really weird. Or even influencers, like...
Just one, even.
Yeah. Like, honestly, Summing Navy's really influential. Like, her business is blowing up.
Rach Parcell.
Honestly, like, just on my personal Time 100, Rach Parcell's on the cover.
Oh, my God. We should do, like, a Patreon episode of our personal Time 100.
People who are actually influential.
Influences me to buy things.
And, like...
think about something.
That also just launches, like, a really interesting conversation about influencers because... And this is, like, my favorite thing to talk about because, like, you could be an influencer with, like, millions of followers and have no influence.
Yeah.
Like, you could start your own line of clothing and you could have no customers. Or you could be, like, an Instagram influencer with, like, 400,000 followers. I feel like Shannon Ford is, like, the most influential, like, person on Instagram. And she doesn't have multi-millions.
Yeah.
So it's not even about followers. It's really about influence. And not everyone has that.
It's so true. Okay.
And, like, I could, but I won't, like, rattle off people who have no influence. But just know I have, like, a list in my head.
Well, we should do a Patreon episode about our time, our Toast 100 most influential.
Totally.
Totally.
Toastily.
Okay. Next up, switching gears, comedians are reacting to the tragic death of SNL star Norm MacDonald. Norm MacDonald's unexpected death from cancer at the age of 61 has brought an outpouring of remembrances from fellow comics and actors on social media, from Jim Carrey, Patton Oswalt, Seth Rogen, Jim Gaffigan. Everybody's talking about Norm. He was struggling privately with a 9-year battle with cancer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, and he passed away.
Well, now that he's in the news, like, I was getting, like, things on TikTok of him, and it made me want to watch his episode of Comedians in Cars.
Oh, for sure.
Because there was, like, this really quick clip with him and Jerry talking about Bill Cosby, and it's very, you know, not appropriate, but it was so funny.
Oh, that's so funny. I was seeing like a bunch of like quotes of his going around or like video clips from like his time on SNL and other stuff. And it definitely like that sounds like a great episode to watch to get to know the man a bit better.
And then it got me thinking, like, when is the next season of Comedians in Cars? It's been a while. Know.
And yeah, I mean, comedy is more personal than food. So these things take time.
Shut up.
I mean, if you need
you don't
to,
make the rules.
You need to. I don't make the rules.
No.
Jerry is told he has to say it once per episode or he won't be able to do the show.
Or he won't get paid.
Or he won't get paid.
Yeah. What's your favorite episode of Comedians in Cars?
Ooh, I haven't watched as many as you have.
Okay. Well, I'm very selective. Like, if I don't know the person, I won't watch the episode.
Yeah. I have to think of just the episodes that I have watched, but I do feel like there's like an obvious answer that I just can't.
I think, can I say it for you? I think I know what you're. It's Tracy Morgan.
Oh, that is a great episode.
It's really good. So is the Jim Gaffigan one.
Yeah. But you're such a Jim Gaffigan girly.
I am. You know, I met him once on a plane.
Kevin Hart is also really good.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a fave of mine.
Yeah. And Dave Chappelle did one, too, but it was kind of serious.
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle is
serious.
But also
the Steve Harvey one was so
good. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. You forget that, like, especially, like, Steve Harvey, who's done so much. He started in comedy, but now I just assume, I think of him as, like, you know, the guy who announced the wrong Miss Universe. Like,
right.
He's so many other things. Family Feud, the Steve Harvey Show. But he started in stand-up, and he is so funny.
And the Kate McKinnon one is really funny, too.
Yes, it is.
They're honestly, most of them are funny.
Honestly, I could go back and watch them. Like, I feel like it's been so long. But he like, did all the comedians.
Yeah. The Larry David one is interesting, because they're both trying to, like, out-Larry each other.
Totally.
It's a Larry off.
They have, like, the same... like dry.
No, because like he's Seinfeld because of Seinfeld is Larry and Larry is Larry.
Totally.
So like they're both like competing, like talking about like how comedy's more personal than food.
Have you been seeing like Larry has been like out and about. He went to the U.S.
I
Open.
I saw him at Fashion Week.
And he went to the U.S. Open and was like plugging his ears because it was so loud. It was like so Larry. And it just got me thinking, like, where's the season?
Yeah. They keep saying that, you know, Curb, it's the final season and then there's another season.
Well, because moronic shit keeps happening in the world. Like, how could Larry not do a season on COVID? Like,
yeah,
it's his dream to stay in the house.
Yeah.
Loved it. Well, it hasn't come out yet, but I will love it. I know I will.
For sure. Okay, ready for our next story, which is a little like Met Gala follow-up. Some things have like emerged, not a lot, but one, Justin Bieber and Hailey Baldwin were taunted with a Selena chant at the Met Gala.
Okay.
Did you see this?
Yes. And I feel like I've went on a rant before about like people who like literally are mourning the loss of a relationship that wasn't theirs from 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And how I just want to say I think they're enormous losers. I think so. Basically, they got out of the car, they walked onto the carpet, and people were across the street like lining up for days, and they were just chanting Selena, Selena when Justin and Haley are trying to take photos.
Right.
And I just want to let you know, like, if you were there and you participated in the chant, just know, like, I hate you. Not even because like I'm a Haley stan versus Selena. Like, you're a grown person. If you're old enough to get like get yourself to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, you know, like, you're probably not there with your parents, like you probably came with your friends, so, like, you're mature enough to travel in the city by yourself and you're chanting about Selena Gomez to another couple who's very happily married. You are a loser and you should reflect, look inside yourself and be like, why? It's you know, it's right before Yom Kippur. You should ask God, God, why am I such a loser? Maybe he can help you because we can't.
And it's also never too late to change, you know? And it's a new year. It's a new leaf. You can repent for chanting Selena at the Met Gala and you can move forward in your life.
You have to stop. God, like, for real.
But you just can't keep doing it.
No, and then it's like people will like take clips of them on the red carpet looking uncomfortable and be like, oh my God, he's thinking of Selena. No, you're making them so uncomfortable. Stop.
So their red carpet body language, we were talking about it yesterday, but not on the show. And now I guess it makes a little bit more sense. But first of all, I do think that, like, you know, posing for pictures at can be awkward.
Mm-hmm.
There were a few moments that, like, people were talking about. First, he put his hand on her stomach, and then she swatted it away because she knew everyone was going to say that they're pregnant. And I don't think that they are whatsoever. But they're both, like, laughing once she realized, like, what it looks like.
Yep.
Then they also, like, switch sides.
Because she wanted to be on her good side.
Right. Like, they're so relatable. But what's also so funny is, like, you watch a 10-second clip of them taking pictures, and it's, like, pretty awkward. And then you see the pictures, and it's, like,
Movie star.
Movie,
no, so they know what they're doing.
Movie,
like,
moment. But it's just like, so that's how just
I just don't know how Haley does it. Like, these accounts, like, you look at her Instagram comments, it's like, Selena, like, shut up. And honestly, if you're there to represent Selena, you're making Selena look like an enormous loser. Like, is she still thinking about Justin? Is that what you're saying? Justin's happily married and she's not, and she's thinking about, like, you're making your girl, who you're there to defend, you're making her look like a loser in this situation. So you should stop.
It's true.
Send this to a Jelena fan, this episode, because you guys are fucking losers. I'm sorry. Stop. We are grown people. Like, stop. And honestly, when I saw those videos of everyone chanting and, like, them getting out of the car, like, I was so sad for them.
Yeah.
And if you think, like, Selena's the victim in all of this, you acting this way, you're making Justin and Haley the victim. So you're having the adverse effect and you're stupid.
Thank you, Claudia. Thank you for this PSA.
Really pissed me off.
The other thing I want to talk about the Met Gala, because Kim posted on her Instagram about her dressing. Mm-hmm. You know, all day people were, like, speculating about the meaning and talking about, you know, how it made them feel. And she posted on Instagram, like, what's more American than a t-shirt? So yeah, that like, perhaps that was the reference, right,
people
for the
have,
look.
People have been giving, like, scientific, historic footnotes, a bibliography.
Yeah.
On what they thought this meant, and like, literally giving dissertations. And she's like, it's a t-shirt. Like, is that it?
Is it an F shirt?
Like, that's it? We all have been spinning our wheels, and, like, it's just a t-shirt.
It was just because of t-shirt material, which is a classic American.
And she was wearing, like, a big t-shirt.
Because of t-shirt.
Yeah. Not Z-shirt.
Not F-shirt. T-shirt.
No, I was, like, honestly, like, crushed. Like, is that okay to say?
Yeah, but it also made me feel like, because at some points I'm feeling like I have no artistic vision, like, mm-hmm. And I love Kim, and I'm embracing the meaning and the impact to wash over me. I was watching Daily Pop yesterday because I wanted to see what they said about Met Gala looks. And, you know, when you see a picture of a look so many times, especially, like, some of the fabulous pictures that emerge from the red carpet, my opinion does start to change. And I want to take back one thing I said yesterday about a look. I don't hate J-Lo's hat anymore.
Oh, okay.
Seeing it from enough angles, I can appreciate the hat. And I hope she had a great evening as Mrs. Hat.
Okay.
So then they were talking about Kim's look, and they're showing it from all these different angles. And they were like, this look is stunning. And I was just like, what am I missing?
Right.
You know, how does she look stunning? They said she looks stunning.
But you can't even see her face.
You can't see her face. So maybe I just have, you know, limitations when it comes to understanding art, which is very possible. I'm not an art girly. I'm not.
No. And by the way, I can admit what I know and what I don't know. And, like, I don't understand art, like, at all. And to be honest, I'm not even interested in understanding it.
Yeah. Maybe so, like, one day, maybe that's just, like, something that comes with age. Maybe that's, like, the next stop for me on, like, my interests in life, to become, like, an art person.
Honestly,
right now, I have no.
Okay. I just had another thought about the outfit.
Okay.
Another theory. But maybe, just hear me out, it's so outrageous, but it's also, like, so recognizable. Nobody's ever worn anything like that ever again. Maybe Kim's hoping, like, in 50 years, when the theme for Met Gala again is, like, you know, Americana, someone will go as her, thus cementing herself as a permanent important figure in American fashion.
And you think that she wasn't that before? Well, even though another interpretation of yours says that she dressed as her own body because she's such an important figure.
Okay, excuse me. Defensive. I didn't say interpretation of mine. I said I saw it on TikTok.
No, but I liked it.
So did I. But I was just thinking, like, this is another possibility, because, like, maybe she wants to be like an Audrey Hepburn, because, like, Audrey Hepburn had all these iconic looks, and this one is, like, so recognizable.
Yeah. I hope that's not it. But, you know, they're all possible.
I still don't. Maybe it's, or maybe it's just a t-shirt.
Which was just really disappointing to me. But yeah, also made me feel, like, better that, okay, at least there wasn't, like, this larger meaning that I didn't understand.
That we missed out.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Are you ready for our next story?
Only if it's the next story that's brought to you by Jenny Kane.
Yes, it is.
You guys, fall is around the corner. And if you have no clothing, listen up. Because
you guys, nobody does fall like Jenny Kane.
No, it's the sweater you can't wait to wear. The mules, you'll be pairing with everything. So the mules are their signature piece. They come in leather, suede, shearling, and more. And it's the classic shoe that started it all. They're effortless, super comfortable, and they come in endless versatility. And they really just make you look very put together if you're just wearing a simple outfit. Also, I would say, like, some of my favorite sweaters that I have are from Jenny Kane. They have the Fisherman, which is the classic cashmere knit, and the Cocoon, which is a cardigan, and it also comes in a crew neck. It's their best-selling sweater style. We can't get enough of it. It has a relaxed fit and an ultra-cozy silhouette. Jenny Kane believes that getting dressed should be the easiest part of your routine, with polished basics that will never go out of style. They make everyday moments a breeze. That's what you need for fall, like a couple really good staples that you can dress up, dress down, and Jenny Kane has them, whether they're sweaters or shoes, cardigans. It's really important just to have like 5 or 6 things that you can wear multiple times, but they look super different. And they're all really good quality. They're elevated basics that focus on comfort without sacrificing style. Find your forever pieces at jennykane.com and get 15% off your first order when you use code TOAST at checkout. That's JennyKane.com, promo code TOAST.
Thank you, Claudia. Our next story is really interesting, some reboot news. The Proud Family revival sets Lizzo, Tiffany Haddish, Lil Nas X, and more as guest stars. Disney Plus has set a stacked cast, literally so stacked, of guest stars and new recurring talent for the Proud Family revival. It's called Louder and Prouder in commemoration.
Oh, that's a good name.
Great name. In commemoration of the original animated series' 20th anniversary. The guest starring voice cast for the series set to launch on Disney Plus in 2022 will feature A-listers from the worlds of music, film, TV, and sports, including Lizzo, Lil Nas X, Chance the Rapper, Normani, Leslie Odom Jr., Tiffany Haddish, Lena Waithe, Anthony Anderson, Gabrielle Union, Debbie Allen. There's literally so many names here. Just going to highlight a few more. Jane Lynch, Marseille Martin.
Jane Lynch.
Gabby Douglas.
Oh.
Brenda Song, Lori Hernandez.
So it's
Jaden Smith. There's so many.
It's not a reboot. It's a reunion of sorts. Like,
it's a series.
Oh.
Like, so I think it's some sort of reboot revival.
Do you think they're going to reboot the episode where she goes on Oprah?
Where she puts her foot in it. I mean, there are so many guest stars here and Oprah was not mentioned, which
that's disgusting.
Definitely worries me.
Proud Family. We'll push your buttons. I don't know how it goes after that.
No, I really do hope that Sugar Mama puts her foot in it once again.
And maybe they just didn't want to put it on the flyer, but Oprah's definitely making a surprise appearance, right?
I just wonder if, like, for me, like, that reference, just, like, every time I'm cooking, I'm like, I'm going to put my foot in it. Like, I just am always thinking about it. Like, I know.
No, Sugar Mama lives rent-free in your mind.
She really does. For anyone else, do you think about that? What that like instance all the time?
Never.
No, you don't, because when I mentioned it to you, you didn't know what I was talking about.
What it was,
but like, I just wonder if other people are just always like thinking about Sugar Mama putting her foot in it.
It's very possible. And to be honest, I'm very skeptical of reboots, and just like any sort of revivals. But I really feel like if something is being taken care of by Disney, Disney cares so much about keeping the integrity of their stories, and that's why the Cruella was so good. It wasn't just like a strewn together prequel or sequel. They care so much about the integrity of the and the legacy of the stories they've created over the years that they're not gonna fuck this up. Like, and I have the utmost faith. If something's on Disney Plus, like, I feel really good about it.
I do agree with you. So I think that this won't be terrible. I think it'll be really fun for, you know, the 90s kids and all of us. And we'll see what they do with it.
Yeah,
but
no,
so far
crazy.
It has the makings of a good reboot. I mean, you know, I am anti-reboot, generally speaking.
Right.
But this sounds like an anniversary special. Like, it's...
And has Disney Plus done any...
Reboots
or reunions? Like, when I think of reboots, I think of, like, Fuller House, which is Netflix. I think of Friends, which was HBO Max. I don't really feel like there's been, like, a big reboot reunion special on Disney Plus.
No, not that I've seen.
And I think if anyone can do it, I have so much faith in Bob Iger, even though I don't even think he works at the company anymore. But he'll always be my CEO.
Oh.
Nothing but respect for my CEO. Honestly, I need to buy his masterclass. Like,
you should.
I feel like I could learn something.
You should. I have a masterclass code for you.
When people ask, like, who is, like, your business, like, idol? No one's ever asked me that. But, like, I just have a feeling that maybe they would. Who would you say?
Well, my business idol would probably be Kim.
Yeah.
Kardashian.
Mine, like, would probably be Brian Kelly.
That's a good one.
He's so rich.
Yeah.
So is Kim, though.
Yeah. Are you ready for our fifth and final story? It's a little more TV news, but...
I'm sorry. Did you say... The final story!
Sometimes you just need take it out on the triangle.
Literally.
Okay, Julianne Hough is addressing the activist show backlash and past blackface costume. Julianne Hough has released a lengthy statement addressing the backlash that has surrounded her recently announced CBS competition show, The Activist, which pits teams of activists against each other in challenges and uses their online engagement and celebrity judges.
Wait, sorry, start again. I need a better understanding of what the show is.
It's a competition show.
For activists.
For activists. So everyone...
Oh, sorry. Who thought that was a good idea?
No, I mean, people thought it was a good idea. It clearly, you know, got
greenlit.
It got Julianne Hough as a co-host alongside Usher and Priyanka Chopra. The show was, like, announced last week and, you know, not to...
No, I need to go read the tweets. I'm sure they're so funny. Like, people already think, like, social media activism is so performative. Like, yeah. You're literally just giving so much credibility to those. Okay, so explain the show.
It pits teams of activists. They're pitting activists against each other in challenges, and it uses their online engagement and celebrity judges to determine an overall winner. So there was a lot of backlash for the concept about the show, and then Julianne Hough,
right.
And she said now she admits she's not qualified to be judging a show about activism, the premise of which has been widely panned online. So I think everything about this formula is just a no. I also read a series of tweets from someone who auditioned to be on the show, an activist, and he said like the whole process was so demoralizing, the things that they wanted him to talk about, like they just wanted him to cry. Like,
you're lying.
Yeah, like instead of like I can't explain it well, but it was just, I don't even know if he wound up on the show, but just the way that the producers were like trying to get these activists,
like, trigger them
to activate was all wrong.
No, this is such a bad idea. Like, just even as like a premise, like, because when you're describing the show, it kind of reminds me of Celebrity Apprentice. Like, all these people getting together to like raise money like for a cause, but like those were famous people doing it, and like it was somewhat interesting when they did it. I don't understand, like, from an entertainment perspective, like, who thought this show would be like fun to watch. Like, it's like sad. And the Julianne Hough of it all, like, I don't know how she could sign on to this show not thinking that her 2013 blackface would resurface. And honestly, doing blackface is such a big deal. Like, it's atrocious. She really never got, like, it was like a big deal, but it was like,
when it happened.
Right. She didn't get like this huge cancel. Like, when I think of like how, okay, here's a good example. Like, Megyn Kelly, like, got fired for like kind of defending blackface and just saying like, but as if it's a costume, like, it was like a, she didn't do blackface. It was in conversation. And like, when you think of like Megyn Kelly versus Julianne Hough, Julianne Hough is like an A-lister, you know? And like Megyn Kelly like has a YouTube channel, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know like who on her team advised her that this would be a good idea. Of course her past indiscretions would become a topic of conversation. Well, and honestly, I feel like now she might go through like a cycle of cancellation.
Yes. And also, even if this show were a good idea, activists
activating
and competing with other activists, say like that premise didn't bother people, like, the judges should be activists, like, who can give,
that is such a good call,
who can, like, you know, famous activists who can like give critique about like how to activate or what you're doing, like, not just celebrities telling these activists what to do with their life,
right? Like, technically the activist could teach the celebrity a thing or two, not vice versa.
Right. And I don't even think the hosts should be, or judges should be, celebrities who also happen to be activists.
No, it should be like activists by day and activists by night.
Yes.
Like,
not celebrity by day.
Who's a famous activist?
I'd have to think about who.
Yeah.
Who,
like, Gloria Steinem. Sure. Okay. Great. Yeah. Like that.
Yeah.
But no, that's another element of why this is moronic.
So I just think across the board, from beginning to end, everything about this show has rubbed people completely the wrong way. I don't know if the show is even going to air.
It really shouldn't, even though I can't lie, like, I might tune in just to see how stupid it is. Like,
yeah, no, and it's just
so, like, embarrassing, like, for everyone.
It is, and I just do think, like, this show, and I guess they filmed episodes, so.
So it's coming.
It's set to premiere on October 22nd on CBS and Paramount Plus. You guys, I don't think it's going to make it to October 22nd.
No, and you know what? This is just like another example. It's kind of like the Imagine video.
Claudia, I was thinking the same thing.
This is like people in Hollywood like really thinking they're doing something and that like they can teach us like how to be
a
good.
A thing or two.
And it's like, you think you're helping, and like we us normies, like we see you for what you truly are, which is ugly. Like they just think they're really doing something, and like we're just gonna eat it all up, and like we're just looking at them like, you guys really think like you're everything of the sort. Do you know how many people had to work on this show, approve this show, green light the show, produce the show, and nobody thought like, is this out of touch? Not one person said that.
Mm-mm.
Moronic.
Yeah. Beyond.
Beyond.
So the countdown is on until October 22nd.
And Julianne Hough releases like this long statement on her Instagram.
Yes.
Properly acknowledging like
all
of
it.
The moronic nature of this journey.
Yes. I don't think the show will air.
No, I don't think it will either.
I don't think it should. It's one of those things that will just like.
But then justice for the activists who like thought they were getting their big break, you know?
Yeah, but it also sounds like from the activist perspective, it was nothing of the sort.
Right.
You know, and like they're like, why can't all activists like do what they want to do? Why can there, why has there only to be one activist?
Right. Like, why are we ranking activists?
The activists. It didn't say like it's not a show called activism.
It's not. The show isn't called. I think we're all activists. Honestly, activist is just one of those words it's, that you say too many times.
Whereas we've said it too many times. And now I'm like,
it's gibberish. It's like, I don't know.
Activist.
I feel that way about the word garage.
I know you do. So does the viewers. I'm sorry.
It's fine. Let's head into the TV recap, which is brought to you by, oh, Bruch. What a delight. The best electric toothbrush. Bruch. The best electric toothbrush on the market, you guys, okay? Some electric toothbrush can cost over $200, which is just unreasonable. But Bruch is A, the best one out there, and B, super affordable. And they're like styling, wiling, living it up in the city.
Living it up in your mouth.
Literally. So the brush itself is very high tech, high power. It comes with 6 unique modes to customize your brushing experience. It has a 4-week battery life, a magnetic charging stand, and a compact travel case. They also offer subscription programs. Never forget to change your brush head again. Bruch will ship you a new replacement head every 6 months, so you're never stuck using a worn-down brush head. The design is very sleek. Their electric toothbrush has a modern, aesthetically pleasing design, and it comes in trend-driven seasonal colors, and it looks great on your bathroom counter. And every time they drop their like new season of colors, it's like, it's like when Apple does their, you know, quarterly drops, mm-hmm. like new iPhone. It's like such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get 15% off your Bruch toothbrush kit and the refill plan, use promo code TOAST at Bruch.com. That's 15% off using promo code TOAST at Bruch.com.
Thank you, Claudia.
Okay, tell me, tell everyone, because I know.
Like, about where I'm at with LuLaRoe.
What episode are you on and what are you feeling?
I just finished episode 3 where one of the consultants said, I looked into hiring a class action lawyer.
Got it.
So I have one episode left, and I think that's really where all the shit hits the fan. So I'm sure everything I say today, I will totally reject after watching the 4th episode where I see, like, what was going on
behind the scenes. The air of their ways.
But.
By the way, do you feel like it took them a little too long in the documentary to explain, like, what was up? Like, what's the problem?
I still don't understand the problem, really. Like, I see that there's, like, faulty...
Leggings
and stuff. But then, you know, and some of the people in the documentary were those who experienced the faulty leggings. But then you also have the owner, I forget his name, Deanne's husband.
Deanne and Mark.
Mark. And he was, and he's, like, saying that those were not, that those were very small percentages of how, whatever. But I also, but I don't understand, like, so if all of the
but
leggings...
It wasn't because at one point they had to pay people back for the shitty inventory they sold, and they spent over $50 million paying people back. So it was a lot
of
people.
Okay, so that I will learn in the 4th episode.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand is, like, why did the quality all of a sudden get so terrible? I mean, obviously you...
They were just too... hillbillies running a billion-dollar company. Like, they had no experience. They hired high-level people, their nephews and their sons. They didn't know. And by the way, their growth was unbelievable. And if they had stayed, I think, at like 15,000 retailers, they could have been successful.
Even 50,000.
But 100,000? No. That, and also, that requires like C-suite level people, a
right,
CEO.
Right. But then also at a certain point, there is a cap to how many retailers you can have, even if you have Bob Iger running your business.
Right.
Because then there's a woman, there's 7 other women in her town who are selling LuLaRoe. And, like, right, everybody's got their leggings. Like, there is, it, you do max out. So I think they reached that point where also, like, the inventory
but
was...
But they didn't care because they were then a business that was only dependent on how many retailers they had. Nobody was even selling shit. Like, over 70% of their retailers were making no money. Like, their business, and that's why it was an illegal pyramid scheme, their business had nothing to do with how many leggings their retailer sold, because the retailers had to buy from Mark and Deanne.
Okay, but the retailers were selling the leggings, at least in the beginning. Like, you know, no, but the woman...
the people they got on the documentary are the women who...
had success.
Had success. Like, out of the 100,000, they said, like, less than 1% were making, like, six figures.
Yes, that I saw. And then, like, so 0.01% were made, were getting those bonus checks. The other 70% were not, because they didn't have people below them. They just had leggings to sell.
And that's, like, the fundamentally why a pyramid scheme is illegal.
Okay, but, like, in the beginning, when one of the women, like, she does her first legging party and she comes home with, like, $1,400, why can't someone at the bottom of the tier do that?
Because that's just not how, that's like, pyramid schemes are designed to keep 80% of the retailers losing money or making no money. That's like, that's what that guy was explaining, and that's why they're illegal.
Got it.
Unless you're like a mentor and you get up to like a, when you're just like a, the bottom level of the.
Like, if you were just selling leggings, there's no money to be made?
Very little, especially when you have to pay so much for the shit.
Yeah. Anyways, okay, so talking about the that end of it, which is what I'm about to get into, and I'm sure I will, you know, but in understand. The beginning.
Yes, I know what you're going to say.
In the beginning, like, and with all of the, like, marketing that we're doing and, like, all the ways it changed, like, so many women's lives for the better for a very long time before it all turned sour, I'm just like, I'm ready to shop LuLaRoe. Like,
no, I know. It was actually really sad.
They also, the way that they describe these leggings, like, I do want to try them, and I saw someone commented yesterday, like,
you get them in black.
You were making fun of leggings, but that's just because you haven't tried them yet. Apparently, they are just, like, magic.
Yeah.
So, like, that's pretty enticing to me. But also, just, like, this, in the beginning, like, the fact that, like, women could stay at home and then also have this little shop and, you know, full-time income for part-time work, et cetera, et cetera. But then it's clear that, like, the
execution.
Message, no, and execution, we can all agree.
Fucked.
They moldy, smelly. I don't want that shit in my house.
Yeah.
I'm quitting. Lula. Yeah. But the message started to change too. And it was not no longer about this is part-time work. First of all, you're not working hard enough if you're not working full-time.
Right.
And second of all, your husband should quit his job and work on this.
And take on the real responsibilities while you just like make videos.
No, but also he should be invested in LuLaRoe too. That way you can never exit. Because at so many points I'm like watching this thing and I'm like, okay, things started to feel weird. You know, maybe you took your money, you get out.
Right.
It's good.
But when your whole family, and that's why the woman at the end who like literally has to go into bankruptcy and gets divorced, it's because
I haven't gotten to her yet.
Their whole life is dependent on this company that lets them down.
Right. And it's clear that like from the top down, like that was what was encouraged when that was not the bill of goods that was sold at the beginning.
Right.
So in the beginning, this premise, this idea, and also like to Deanne's credit, like she, it sounds like from her story, she started about it in a natural way. She was, you know, she went to the swap meet and she saw these dresses. She sold them for a little more. Mm-hmm. She made skirts in her kitchen. Everybody mm-hmm. liked them. One of her friends wanted to sell them. And it really like the pyramid started in just like a word of mouth. Like she likes making clothes and selling like in a very industrious strap on your boots sort of way.
I know, but by the end of the documentary, I'm like, can I believe anything these people say? Like, they become so delusional. Mm. And it's like, at first when I'm watching, I'm like, these people are so sweet. Like, they just want to help stay-at-home moms. And, like, I do believe, like, that their intention in the beginning was not to fuck over millions of people. But by the end of the documentary, like, you really don't know what to believe. Like, the best thing is, like, the documentarian says to Deanne, like, what made you want to start a brand that, like, empowers women? And, like, what does it mean to be women
empowerment? And then Mark speaks over her.
And he's like, actually, you know, Deanne, can I take this one?
Yeah.
Like, it was so funny. So I just don't know, but, my feelings at the end were, like, I thought it was, like, so earnest and sweet in the beginning, but, like, these people are, like delusional.
Okay. So being delusional isn't a crime.
No, but stealing money from people is.
We'll get there. I'm not there yet. So I'm just saying up
until... So with the moldy leggings, they like refused to buy it back from people. And people had spent $10,000 on their, you know, startup fees to get moldy leggings.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I get that. Like I
can't even deal with this. But they never got into why the leggings were moldy. But they just...
Because they were leaving them outside?
They just lost control of the whole thing. Like they're like once they started growing, like they should have been like acquired by someone or put a CEO in who has like Fortune 500 experience. Two people with no business experience besides selling clothing cannot run a billion-dollar company. They just can't.
Yeah.
With their kids.
With also 100,000, essentially, contractors.
Right. Like, let's say you're a restaurant. They had 100,000 stores.
Yeah, but like all those retailers are people with personalities and like things, you know, it's a complex organism mm-hmm. that they're dealing with. Yes, so I agree with that, but I also think that no matter who was running it, it was going to get too big. But the way that it just blew up, like it was just...
It was crazy.
Crazy. And it's just so crazy. I never heard of it.
I know.
But I guess like I was like in college or...
Right. So. Just not in the MLM space.
No, not in the MLM space. So it was... It's very interesting.
And they're just characters like Deanne and Mark.
Yeah. So I will finish it. I just... Yeah, I want to see where a lot of the women who are speaking right now, like where they ended up, like if any of them were able to be like, you know what, this is just getting to be too all consuming. Like, I'm going to take my wins and
just
go.
Just watch. Yeah. They have like five people who all do different things.
Okay. Like, I hope that there were people out of the 100,000 or even the, you know, mentors, trainers who made good money and at a certain point realized like, I'm going to
check out.
I'm going to step away.
There's one girl like that.
Okay.
And she's the one who like was like top. She was a third retailer. She's like the top employee at the company.
Okay, I know her.
She stepped back, not because she had a bad experience or was not making money, but it just didn't feel right that like literally 90%, like 90,000 people were making no money and she was.
Yeah.
And there's actually a woman, and you'll figure out which one it is, who still sells for LuLaRoe.
Well, there's one woman talking about how she wants to keep selling LuLaRoe like forever and how she's working on her sixth cruise.
Yeah.
She's talking about that throughout the documentary, which also makes me feel like, well, people are still doing it.
They're still in business. I just looked at their Instagram the other day and all the comments are like flooded, obviously, like, great documentary. But they're still in business. I don't get it.
Well, we'll see. I have to watch the fourth episode. I was really on the journey with this brand.
No, because it really, like, for a while, like, was this, like, female empowerment, like, machine.
Even if, like, her brand of female empowerment was, like, you know.
Traditional.
Traditional, yes. And also, like, empowering women like within the home, like still can't leave the home.
No, totally. But like, by the way, there are a lot of people in our country who do that.
Right. No, but and also those women had already made the choice to stay at home. Right. Like it wasn't like she was forcing them to stay home when they wanted to like enter the workplace. Mm-hmm. So she was giving them something to do. So I don't hate all of that. Definitely like want to go to a Tupperware party soon. But it definitely turns toxic and the stuff with like the weight loss surgery.
So weird.
But then it also feels like these women were so close. Like it's clear that if you were in this, like if you were in Deanne's inner circle, like
right, the chat, like the LuLaRoe skinnies,
like LuLaRoe was your whole life, you know? And so if one friend, it's just like, you know, if you're in a friend group and one friend goes and gets this bracelet, like, yeah. You know, we're all,
it doesn't stop at leggings.
No. And so, on the one hand, it's like, okay, she's their boss and she's like kind of convinced them all to get weight loss surgery. Like that's incredibly fucked up. But on the other hand, when like you're in like a circle and this thing is your whole life, for better or for worse, you get like influence. Oh my God, you look amazing. What'd you do? Oh, okay, I'll do it. Even if it's just like a facial.
Right.
Or a moisturizer.
No, I feel that.
You know?
But yeah. Everything
with LuLaRoe is the extreme.
Yeah, and when it's with your work, it borders on inappropriate and unprofessional.
Right. But they, like, because it's not a workplace and
it's your whole life.
Right.
Yeah. So
there's just blurred lines everywhere.
It's an interesting documentary just because it's the most bizarre story ever.
Yeah. And I also feel like before this documentary, I could never understand, well, the MLM to begin with, but also like why someone, they get such a bad rap. Like, how do you even enter one at this point?
Right. No, it's much harder now. That's what I was saying. This is why, like their success was a perfect storm of a million things, like being obsessed with leggings at the time. Like it was so trendy. And 2013, like there were no Instagram accounts or documentaries exposing pyramid schemes. It was just like a business.
Right. And so, but now this documentary made me understand how people, a lot of people, get into MLMs.
Yeah, of course. It's, you're being sold a bill of goods that is false.
But like if the product is good.
Yeah, well, I just have to say, like I used for a while a Rodin and Fields eyelash serum that was amazing. Someone gave it to me and then like I could never buy it again because I had to like join a pyramid scheme to get it, which sucks.
You have to buy 5,000 of them.
Because it's literally the best. And by the way, anytime I talk about it, like I'm going to get hit up with so many Rodin and Fields consultants like, here, use my code. Like,
yeah.
So I do think that they're, I don't know, like I'm not into the whole, I don't know as much. I mean, I actually don't know anything about MLMs, but there is a limit to how much they can grow now. Like we will never have a LuLaRoe moment ever again because we're all so hip to what goes on in MLMs.
Like, if something is an MLM and not a pyramid scheme, you're not making money based on the people that you bring, that you recruit. You're making money based on the product sold and you really believe in the product.
So MLMs are legal, right, but they're right. Unethical.
Why?
There are many documentaries on it, but the culture in MLMs is very toxic. They brainwash a lot of the women. Like, it's very culty. Okay, but
what if you establish an MLM that had a good culture?
You should work on that. You know, like, the lines are so confusing. I don't really understand a lot of it.
Yeah, just people, like, so many people choose to do a lot of MLMs, and then they get, like, just the worst reputation, but like the MLM part is legal. If you're selling a product that you like love and you just want to sell, and you also are getting like, you know, making money from home just on selling product, like,
I don't think that the women who join MLMs, like, what I've heard from people who have left MLMs is that like they don't love the product. Like,
these women love the leggings.
Yes, they did. That's why it's a unique story.
Okay. They don't love the product you're
selling. I don't think like they love, you know, the makeup and the toothbrushes, whatever, like that they're selling.
Okay.
That's just what I think.
Interesting.
And then really quickly, I started Fleabag last night.
Okay.
It's disgusting.
Why did you do that?
Because my friend Abe, whose opinion I respect, like, said I would love it.
But it's time, like, it passed.
No, I know. And, like, I just want to say, like, I think it's, like, the worst show.
You should start Mayor of Easttown.
No, I think I was going to start Killing Eve next. Have you watched it?
You're so serious. No.
No, I know. I'm just like, I've watched everything. Like, I'm at, you know, rock bottom.
Yeah. What about Mayor of Easttown? I actually want to watch it.
I know, but that I actually missed the boat on.
No. Fleabag and Killing Eve, you missed the boat on.
But they're still on the air.
Oh.
Like, new seasons come out. Oh. Where is the new season of Maisel? Have you ever watched Maisel?
No.
You would love it. Like, adore.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Fuck. I forgot that he was sitting right next to me. Oh, my God. He just touched me. Oh, my God. My chest.
I know. That's what everyone says, that I would love it. Is she okay?
No. Oh, my God. Like,
God. You're so dramatic.
You are so fucking mean, okay? I'm going through something right now. I scare very easily, and my heart rate is just really fast. Give me one fucking second, bitch.
The most dramatic person. Look at her. Get the camera on her.
Jackie, you are actually gaslighting me right now. Like, let me just have my moment. Like, I'm actually going to cry, okay? I was very scared. I'm fine now. I just need a moment to catch my breath.
Okay.
Okay, I'm fine. Oh, my God.
Are you okay?
Fucking bitch. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm worried. Don't act like you care.
No, now I care. You made me care.
I'm okay. I was just startled. He gave me a fright.
Things happen. Frights happen.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
Are you a person who frights easily? I am. Like, if I look at myself in the mirror and I didn't, like, realize I was standing there, like, I will actually almost... I get scared so fucking easily.
I guess I do get a fright easily, like, especially with Zach just, like, skulking around. I'm just like...
If I get into an elevator and there's a person in it, I scream.
That's insane.
No, but it's a natural... I'm not even being dramatic. It's such a natural reflex because I'm just mindlessly minding my own business, and you don't expect to see someone in an elevator unless I'm in, like, a... busy corporate building, but like here it's like a quiet building. My home is a quiet building, and I'm just like walking in and I look up and there's a person, like, I'll yelp and they think I'm crazy, but it's 9 times out of 10 I'll scream.
Damn, I'm sure they do think you're crazy.
You want to hear something?
But why don't you walk in looking up?
It's just by the way, I have an even crazier one for you. Like, this is moronic, but it happens a lot. Sometimes my doorbell will ring and I'll open the door, like, knowing that there's someone on the other side. And I'll be like, sorry, you scared me. Like, because sometimes I just think, like, if it's a package being delivered, they just leave it right outside.
Right.
So it's like 50-50 when I open the door that someone's actually there, not just like a delivery that was left outside.
Yeah.
So I take a step back.
You're opening the door.
And I'm opening the door. Like, someone rang the bell. They gave me full warning. And I'm still like.
That's so funny.
No, I know.
Damn. Spooky season. It is spooky season, though.
I don't want to end the show because then it's officially like Yom Kippur, you know?
Yeah, but we do have a call.
We do?
Oh, yeah, in 5 minutes, so we got to go.
Okay, you guys, that was our show. Hope everyone who is celebrating has a great Yom Kippur, an easy fast, and we love you.
Good Yom Tif.
We'll be thinking of you. Please be thinking of us. Have a great day. Thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available.
Why are you laughing?
I'm just laughing about like the fright. Spooky thing. We're also available as podcasts anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us, Morning Toast, leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are.
Yeah.
Hope you guys have an amazing day. And if you're still listening to the podcast, congratulations. You've made it to season 2 of The Society. Drop the ghost emoji because we're feeling spooky on our most recent Instagram. Have a great day, guys. We'll see you on Friday.
Bye.